You're listening to Type Radio. My name is Douglas Haddo.
My name is Will Brown.
Now we're talking.
Hello. This is Type Radio. Now we're talking.
You're listening to Type Radio. My name is Donald.
I'm Lisa.
We're at the Integrated Conference in Antwerp. It's October 23rd, 2009. And our guests are the guys from Adbusters, Douglas Haddo and Will Brown.
Hi.
Welcome.
Hello.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting us.
How shall we start?
How did you get involved in Adbusters in the first place?
Initially, the very first contact, they were like put out a call for an art director, so I applied for that job. Didn't hear anything back for 6 months, and then I was working doing design somewhere, and they called me and said, "Hey, Do you want to work as an art assistant? I know you applied as the art director, but do you want to work as an art assistant? We have a guest art director right now named Malcolm Brown, and he did the last issue, and he's going to do this one too, and we'd love to have you in." So I went in and talked to them there, and it was a good vibe all around. Everybody seemed to like each other, and so they called me back and said, "Yeah, so help us out on this upcoming issue." So that was issue 69. Big Ideas of 2006 maybe. And from then, yeah, and then Malcolm left, and Khalil asked me to, if I wanted to guest art direct the next issue. So I busted my ass, and he asked me to do the next one. And then the next one, he's like, "Okay, now you're the art director."
He was trying you out first?
Yeah, well, I mean, the way that it works is we kind of, feel people out. Sort of the production schedule is such that we produce 6 issues a year, and so we're bi-monthly, and our production schedule generally gets pretty heavy in the second month. So we need someone definitely there working on the magazine for 4 weeks. And there's all kinds of other projects we're working on, absolutely. And so it's not good to have an art department that's sort of in shift. And so luckily, it's been pretty stable recently. And it always typically has been. It's the editorial department that gets pretty wild. But the art department is sort of the grounding force.
Is that your department?
Yeah, primarily. I was working in advertising, and so I pitched a article to Kala, our editor, and basically said, "I'm sick of advertising, get me the hell out of here." And he said, "Okay," and I wrote a really just horrible, shitty, abysmal article, and he printed it. And that's how I started. And now, yeah, I'm
about advertising.
It was nonsense. I think he printed
that?
It.
I remember that one.
Yeah, he printed it just to be nice to me, yeah, so I could get a paycheck, and then been writing for them for 2 years now.
Yeah, but he also does he's a creative consultant. So like,
yeah,
we're working on subjects, maybe it's some section of the issue, then we sort of tap him for some inspiration. He's got an idea, and then we kind of...
I try to bridge the gap between editorial and art director and try to just help out as much as possible.
But yeah, he's the godfather, sort of.
Khaled is he's the guy who founded the magazine.
It's already he's 20 years ago, right?
Yeah, so he's a co-founder. And at one time, he even was the art director. So to the degree that he would have a designer, so he would do, scribble on a spread, and then say, this is what the spread's going to be, and just scan this and put that in or something, yeah, to that extent.
He's the Don.
So I think that was around 2004. Yeah, I mean, basically, he comes up with some of the ideas. We come up with he's the editor in chief and the publisher as well. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of his baby in a way, but. He's into sort of the youth and getting their, it's a youth-oriented magazine, and he's into getting their ideas out there and having them in the office, because that's the kind of stuff that Adbusters is about, basically.
But what is your personal interest? I mean, are you there? What is your personal interest in the project?
Well, I'm interested in the art and design side. So I'm the art director, and my talk today was more about design, but I'm involved in the entire process from sort of the seed to the final project. I send the files to the printer. I turn the analog mock-up to the digital mock-up. And what I am involved in, or what I'm most interested in the magazine, is sort of the side where we're kind of allowed to do, there's this almost unlimited creative freedom that we can use to express these different ideas. And so what I'm interested in is, as well as being, you know, for the cause and for what sort of Adbusters is about, sort of the ecological side and the economic side and talking about overconsumption and all that, which is something I'm definitely interested in. And the art side, I just love the fact that there's so much creative freedom where, you know, a lot of other magazines, you have this rigid style sheet that you have to follow. Whereas Adbusters, it's kind of like, you know, what are you kind of feeling about on this spread or this whole article or this whole section of the magazine? Oh, you know, I was thinking we could do this and this. And I'm able to, at such a young age, I'm 28. I started the magazine when I was 25 as the art director. And at such a young age, I'm able to do this. I thought it was going to take me years to get to this stage.
Sweet. Jump the queue.
Yeah.
I was wondering, because, I mean, you obviously need some anti-consumerism, anti-advertising kind of attitude to work at Adbusters, I can imagine. But is that also reflected in the way you treat articles or treat, like, how you make a design treatment for a certain art? You say, well, you know, it should be like an anti-design more than a design.
I don't know if we think about it necessarily in those terms. It's difficult because, like, you're living your life, period, and you can't. It's difficult to sort of, you know, come into work and then boom, all right, I'm anti that. I'm an Adbuster now, and then go home and watch baseball or something like that, and sort of that's what I'm about. I don't know if it's difficult to explain what the sort of what the type of person is there, but we're a very sort of laid back group. I honestly thought when I was first going in that I was going to meet a bunch of sort of vegans with hemp clothing, yeah, and sandals,
vegan
and
militants.
And yeah, but if you don't know, I think that's what you.
Well, a lot of these things have been not pushed on Adbusters, but have been Adbusters has sort of said, you know what, we welcome everybody. And yeah. So in a way, the whole left agenda is considered to be represented by Adbusters, whereas we have multiple voices by multiple people, writers, designers.
There is no the editor doesn't have, he has his agenda he's pushing. I mean, like any magazine or any media mogul, but he's open to something that totally conflicts with his ideology. For example, like I've written quite a few features, and my perspective is completely different from his, but he'll print it if it's good. So in that sense, you're allowed a very diverse selection of opinions and personalities within the Adbusters office. Because if he likes what you're doing, if you're good, he'll let you roll with it. You know, you don't have to conform to an ideology.
It's not like you have a set of rules and this is not allowed and this is
exactly no. What's not allowed is following a set of rules.
The only rule is there are no rules.
But you also stimulated.
There's a bunch of other rules, but
you're also stimulated to like to take right turns or take left turns and.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely the Adbusters MO is always there, and it's always there's always a push to make it extreme, not extreme, but you want people to react and you want to engage the audience in a way they're not being engaged.
Yeah.
And in order to do that, you can't write or do design in a simple kind of a way that other people are doing it. You have to, every issue, come with something new and something sometimes abrasive, sometimes completely abstract.
Yeah, I mean,
the
whole magazine is meant to be a call to action. We want people to act. So whatever it takes to do that. So provocative, controversial, whatever. Saying something that gets people's, you know, it gets on their nerves or they're just not, rubs them the wrong way. That's what we try to do. Because
like, yeah, our editor will be happy if he gets, you know, 500 emails saying, oh, you guys are shit. You know, whereas most editors won't. So that's something unique to Adbusters that's really quite nice.
Yeah. If we do if we get into a legal battle with somebody,
that's a good thing.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. Does it happen a lot?
Yeah.
Yeah. And we pursue them.
But who finances you then? I mean, if you...
We ask our...
Readers. Readers finance us.
Yeah.
So specifically, we're in a legal battle with a couple broadcasters in Canada right now. And we have called out to readers or previous donors and said, this is what we're doing right now. If you believe in this, please help us.
Can you elaborate on this specific...
Okay.
Or is it too...
On the lawsuit currently?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, it's a lawsuit that started a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And Adbusters was founded with an advertising campaign against logging. Mm-hmm. The lumber industry is very big and powerful in British Columbia, where Adbusters started. And they were doing PR and advertising in order to market clear-cutting as a ecologically sound way to manage forests.
Mm-hmm.
So out of this, Adbusters created their own anti-campaign and sent this to Canadian broadcasters. So, you know, both sides of the story would be shown. And the Canadian broadcasters, because obviously they're getting paid by the lumber companies, said no. So Adbusters sued them and continued to sue CBC and a plethora of other corporations for the right to air citizen-produced PSAs.
And public services.
So,
public service announcements.
Public service. Basically like independent messages. And this has been going on for a long time. And recently, Adbusters won a string of cases, a string of lawsuits and...
sort of appeals and things
appeals
like that.
Appeals. And basically, we have the right now to show the ads.
Yeah.
So this has been a 20-year process. So
and like, does that scare off other opponents? If you've become sort of successful in lawsuits?
No. Well, there's the big, CanWest just went bankrupt.
Unfortunately, the Canadian broadcasters are all failing.
All right.
So it's like, hey, we've won, we did it, but then now they're all bankrupt. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
So like, it doesn't really matter. But, yeah.
The CBC is the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, and it's like the BBC to a degree. And the VRT here in Belgium, so it's publicly funded.
The end goal is to reform broadcast law so that space allotted for ads is open to any citizen of Canada. Anybody, we have hate laws in Canada, so anybody can produce an ad, and it can be contrary to the consumerist messages, and they'll be forced to play it. Mm. That's the end product of what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
Do you think now, I always have a feeling that with every generation, people have they've become complacent. They're not interested, or is it with, I don't know, with Adbuster, I know you've not been there for 20 years, but is there a difference from...
Well, yeah, in the span that Adbusters has existed, in North America anyways, you know, Europe is much more socialist and has more government control, but in North America, what Adbusters has been fighting against, the advertising industry and corporate control over media, has increased substantially. I mean, the amount of product placement in media now, like it's occurring in news, and it's only going to continue, but... On the other hand, independent media has grown so much, and it's so strong now, and there is so much independent media that it's kind of like, on one hand, things have gotten worse, and people have become complacent and conditioned, but on the other hand, there's so many new avenues for people to communicate different ideas and opposing viewpoints that the new generation is somehow less complacent. And more complacent at the same time. Yeah. It depends on the demographic. You know, every different demographic is going to have a totally different viewpoint.
When you're talking about generational complacency, I don't know. You know, you have to. It's difficult because you're only of one generation, right? So you're told by your parents, oh, you know, we were this way and this way when we were kids, and Kala will be like, well, in the 60s this was how they did it in France and all this.
Yeah.
But I think there's these type of people in every single generation. I don't think anybody I don't think now is any worse than it was. I think Adbusters is a youth, definitely a youth powered and influenced and read magazine. It's read by first year university students. And often when someone gets into fourth year, they're like, you know, I'm totally over Adbusters now. Because in a year, I have to get a job, right? So, yeah, it's something, unfortunately, that you know, if you're from a place of privilege or something like that, then you can vibe on it. It's like Adbusters is something that I'm totally into now, and so it's difficult, and so we gotta continuously get youth involved, and that's why you know, you have us here rather than, you know, 40-year-old guys or something like that.
But then do you act in other ways, like in teaching at schools? I mean, the magazine then cannot, you know, obviously somebody that's 14 does not buy.
No.
Well,
do they
no,
buy
I
this
mean,
magazine?
14 is not our target audience.
But there's still 14-year-olds out there who are sort of, you know, whether they're alienated or they're just into that sort of thing at the time. We have a media literacy kit that a lot of elementary school teachers, they order from us, and they teach it in their classroom. Yeah. If they have like an alternative education program at their school, you know, it's just like I don't know, like a world issues class.
And actually, I mean, I was first exposed to Adbusters by an English teacher of mine who was a draft dodger. He was an American draft dodger who moved to Canada and became a pot grower. And
sorry, I don't know what a draft dodger is.
It's to avoid
Vietnam draft.
And to avoid from going into the military.
Yeah. Oh, draft.
Specifically,
like,
the
okay,
Vietnam
sorry,
War.
I put draft yeah. with beer, and then I was like, he's avoiding beer? And then
no, yeah, he doesn't like, he's an ale man. Ale and
cider, he likes
lager. Lager.
All right.
But so, I mean.
I thought great. It was political.
Yeah. So he drank beer. Anyway, okay.
Yeah.
Come on.
But yeah, I mean, I'm just saying personally, like, I was exposed to Adbusters when I was about 16, and it made a really huge impact on me, and it was just because it was so new and different, and it was like, oh, wow, I've never seen a subvertisement before. And then all of a sudden, you think, oh, okay, advertisements, you know, can be manipulated, and the ideas can be flipped, and so, I mean...
But then you said you went to work in advertising, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that was
I did.
So what?
He graduated from university.
I went to work in advertising because, yeah, I need to pay bills. And I worked in advertising, and I don't know, it wasn't for me. I'm not trying to demonize advertising, even though I
but
do work.
But
did
you think it wasn't going to be so bad or something?
No, it was just kind of like I need a job,
yeah.
You know? So that's the job that I got.
Yeah.
And
you have an ideal job, and then you have the job you can get.
Yeah.
So it's something that we wanted to tackle a little bit in what we were speaking about during our talk, but we weren't able to. It's like, you know, how can you sort of go in front of people and say, do this and do this, do socially conscious design, and make sure that your design is this and this, and first things first manifesto, and... how can we affect change in the world, and what kind of change are we trying to affect even? Yeah, I mean, there's a reality and there's an ideal. And so the reality is, you know, if you're trying to get your foot in the door as a designer, you'll take what you can get. You can't refuse. I mean, you can have ethics, you can have values, you can have morals, but, you know, I don't. At the same time, I doubt a cigarette company is going to come up to you as like a young designer and say, can you do an ad for us? Yeah. But at the same time, it's something that I think that we all struggle with is how can I do this, you know, when I need to survive at the same time. So yeah, I don't know. It's a difficult thing to thing to tackle, and I often think about that, and I often try to sort of approach it from that same angle. Like I'm able to do. As I said, I'm able to sort of, I have this creative freedom that I'm allowed, and I don't get paid a lot. I make enough to pay the rent, basically. But yeah, so how do you find that, the median, or how do you do all these challenges that have been presented to designers? How do you approach that as a young designer, as someone who's a graduate or a student or someone who's trying to get into the field? That's a difficult thing, especially when people are coming to you. And yeah, like I say, you know, I may be repeating myself, but it's like something that it's difficult. It's hard. That's like the ultimate challenge. So
what would be an alternative? If you were not working at Adbusters, who would you work for?
I would be trying to work at Adbusters.
If not, after that. You know, this is your last issue. Where are you going next?
Oh, that's a tough one, because I don't know. I thought I'd be able to figure it out by now, but I still can't. I think from here it would be kind of not do my own thing, but like, I don't know. Maybe just go into art and just paint.